The Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new." Let me read the text again. "Therefore, if any man," you know, that could be a man that's lived in sin most of his life. That could be a teenager. That could be somebody in their middle years in life. That could be a child that God had brought to the realization of their sin and that he is the Savior. "But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Pray for me this morning. I want to try to bring the message and talk about this new creature in Christ Jesus. Father, we love you. And thank you this morning for this chapter in the Bible. And Lord, we thank you for the truths that are before us. And God, we don't handle these truths lightly. We realize, Lord, that one day, as is said in this chapter, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll give an account, our Father, of all the things that we've done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. God, I pray that you'd help us this morning, clothe us in our calling. Thank you, God, for the song service, Lord. The singing could not be more fitting for the message today. Thank you, Father, for your leadership and your guidance for folks that are willing to seek your will along life's way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're living in a generation today when there's a lot of emphasis being put on new. Sometimes a new car, a new house, a new suit of clothes, or maybe a new rifle or a new fishing pole or a new set of golf clubs. But God wants to put the emphasis today on something new that, I tell you, far outweighs anything in this world. And that is a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." What you hear today will not be probably new truth, but it will be a rehearsal in our lives. And I believe sometimes it's good to rehearse. I thought a while ago, Brother Ralph, I would bust. You've got to thinking about or singing about that day. What a day that will be. But Brother Ralph, the only reason there's going to be a day for me to get out of here is because I can point to a day in my life when I got in. I tell you, if you get in, you'll get out. And heaven will be your home when you leave this world. I want to point to some things that are new, first of all, and then go through the message today and trust the Lord to help us. The first thing I want to say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I just want to point to five or six new things in this chapter. The first thing that God spoke to my heart about was there was a new love. The Word of God said, "The love of Christ constraineth us," in verse number 14, "because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." I remember that new love, don't you? I remember going home that night and apologizing to my wife. She was home with two sick children. And I said, "Honey, I'm sorry." And she said, "For what?" Looking back on it, it's almost humorous, because I'm thinking like, I thought you went to church. That's probably what she was thinking. Well, that's where I did go. I went to church. I went to church without him, but I came home with him. And I apologized to my wife and I said, "Honey, I thought I loved you.
I said that until just a few minutes ago, I'm afraid I didn't know anything about love. My life was all about myself, was all about my ambitions, all about my goals. And I tell you, when he moved in, a love he put in my heart for him, a love he put in my heart for his people, a love he put in my heart for my family, and a love he put in my heart for sinners. Amen. That's the love that God gives a man when he saves him. The Bible teaches the love of Christ constraineth us. I was thinking about something, and I'm not trying to play on your heartstrings, but honestly, someone could think, well, God brought Pastor here because he loves us. Honey, I want you to know when God brought me here, I didn't even know you. Say amen. I love all of God's people everywhere. Amen. But I tell you why God brought me here is not because I loved you, but because I love him. And I wanted to do his will in my life. And that was how he directed my heart into the will of God. Listen to this. The Bible. Now, I've done got way past that in 3 years. Somebody help me. Amen. Amen. It all started because I love him. But I tell you what, there's not a person in this church that I can't say that I love you with all of my heart. But it's the love of Christ that constrains us. Listen to what Hudson Taylor said. He was a director of the China Inland Mission. He often interviewed candidates for the mission field. On one occasion, he met with a group of applicants to determine their motivations for service. And why do you wish to go as a foreign missionary? He asked one. And this person said, I want to go because Christ has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That was his answer. Another said, I want to go because millions are perishing without Christ. Others gave different answers. Then Hudson Taylor said this. He said, all of these motives, however good, will fail you in times of testings, trials, tribulations, and possible death. But there is one motive that will sustain you in trial and testing, namely the love of Christ. I tell you, God wants Christ to be our first love. Amen. And I believe when he is, there's a new love in that believer's life. Then secondly, not only is there a new love, but there's a new Lord. The Bible said in verse number 15 that he died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Let me say something to you this morning. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If a person ever is genuinely born again and tries to live their life for themselves, they will be a miserable person. But one sure indication, amen, that a person gets saved by the grace of God and becomes a new creature in Christ. There's a new love, but there's a new Lord. There's another master. There's somebody besides you, amen, calling the shots, and you want to do his will in your life, and you want to serve him with all of your heart. Why? The Bible said here that henceforth should not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. I say there's a new Lord. Jesus said this, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I'll tell you something right now. It's one thing to call him Lord. It's another thing for him to be Lord in your life. He is the master, amen, in the believer's life. There's a new love. There's a new Lord. Then let me give you this. There's a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I tell you, if God doesn't change my mind, I'm probably coming back tonight and looking at two words, in Christ. I got to looking at it this morning. Honey, I tell you, the more I look at it, the bigger it gets, amen, in Christ. But listen, there's a new life. You say, preacher, what do you find in that new life? Said he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'll tell you what I find. Three things hurriedly. Number one, there's a new man. Can you remember, Brother Joe? I'm just convinced that when you're standing there, I'm just convinced amen, that you go back to a day when you took off the old coat and you put on the new. I'm just convinced that he didn't tell us that he was in 5 nursing homes this week to brag on him. I'm just convinced that God has put a love down in his heart. I've been with him in the nursing homes and watched him sing to those folks and watched him testify the grace of God. He loves what he's doing, amen. And I tell you, he remembers that day when God gave him a new life. There's a new man in this new life. And then secondly, there's a new ministry. The Bible said in verse number 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation." Can you go back to a time in your life, listen to me tonight, when you begin to get concerned, when God saves a person, they get concerned about others that are not saved. Amen. They might not know the plan of salvation, so to speak. They may not know a lot. But I tell you, all of a sudden, they get concerned. I remember this. I don't know if I was saved 24 hours when I thought about this. I thought, this is so good. Why don't everybody get in on it? Why don't everybody just open their heart, receive Christ, and get on their way to heaven? And then the Holy Spirit had to remind me, you're 27 years old, son. Amen. I tell you why. Because they're blind, amen, just like I was blind. And it takes the dealing of the Spirit of God to remove those blinders. There's a new ministry to God, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Oh, beloved friend, I haven't read the bulletin yet, Brother Brian, but I can only imagine if we treated our Bible like the cell phone. Amen. We would have enough verses memorized that we could tell somebody how to get to heaven, how to trust Jesus as their Savior. Amen. How to know that they've been saved by the grace of God. The Bible said, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God." I believe that every born-again believer, listen to me carefully right here, has a purpose, has a ministry. I believe there are people in Bloomingdale that would not give this preacher the time of day, but if you'd sit on their porch and talk to them about their soul, they'd listen to you. Amen. How many believes that? I believe that. I believe you have friends at work. I believe you have loved ones. Amen. And we need to look for those opportunities, because when God has saved us, he's given us a new ministry in that new life. And then he gave us a new message. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Look at verse number 21. How many can remember different thoughts that you had about the way of salvation before you were saved? I mean, I can remember that thought that you hear people say, "Well, if you don't quit lying, you'll go to hell." And you get that thought on your mind, "Well, man, if you tell a lie, you're going to hell." And I've heard people say, "Well, you got to take your good works and put them on this side, and you got to take the bad and put it on this side." And it makes you think of the pennies, Brother Brian, in Bible school. Whichever one weighs the most, that's the way you're going. See, those are false ideas. Amen. God gives you a new message. God lets you know, my friend, when you get saved by the grace of God, that this is the message. "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In other words, beloved, it's not our righteousness. It's his righteousness. It's his blood that we sang about. Amen. It says his righteousness imputed to the believer. I read this. I thought it was good. There's a London businessman, Lindsay Clegg. He told the story of a warehouse property that he was selling. The building had been empty for months and needed repair. Vandals had damaged the doors, smashed the windows, and strewn trash around the interior. And as he showed a prospective buyer the property, Clegg took pains to say that he would replace the broken windows, bring in a crew to correct any structural damage, and clean out the garbage. And the man that was looking at the place, the potential buyer, he said, "Forget about the repairs." He said, "When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building. I want the site. Compared with the renovation that God has in mind, our efforts to improve our own lives are as trivial as sweeping a warehouse that's slated for the wrecking ball. When we become gods, the old life is over. He makes all things new. All he wants is the sight and permission to build. I say hallelujah. He wants our sight and permission to build. He's not looking, my friend, to renovate. He is looking for a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then let me give you this. I see a new love, a new Lord, a new life. I see number four, a new labor. What do you mean, preacher? Look in verse number 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. I remember going in my preacher's office after that God saved me. I remember the spirit that God had given me. I don't remember exactly how I phrased it, but it was as much as telling my preacher, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. And I'm in it. The Lord had put in me, Brother Joe, a servant's heart. I tell you, it didn't matter to me if it was grass that needed to be mowed, a van that needed to be driven, a class that needed to be taught. Just give me something to do. How many remembers that in your life? Just let me do something for my Lord, a labor that God had put in my heart when he saved me, a new labor. The Bible said, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Let me say this to you. God gave me three things as I looked at this yesterday evening. Number one, we ought to be concerned about our labor being accepted of him. Amen. In other words, preacher, what is it that he accepts? I'll tell you what he accepts. He accepts that that's done not for a show, not for credit, but he accepts that that's done for his honor and for his glory, because we love him. That's what he accepts. Amen. He accepts that labor. And then not only are we accepted of him, we ought to labor that we might be accepted of him, but we ought to labor because we're going to appear before him. That's what the Bible said right here. Look at it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We ought to labor that we might be accepted of him. We ought to labor because we are going to appear before him. I've been to court on three different occasions. All of them were traffic violations. And I can remember dreading it. Do you look forward to going to court? Do you look forward to standing in front of a judge? You say, preacher, that's peanuts. It might be to you, but it wasn't to me. Amen. I tell you, even some of those fines in those days, you say, well, $75 is nothing. It all depends on who you're talking to. $75 might be the groceries to one family. Say amen. And I'll tell you something. I can remember standing before those judges. I can remember that my dad taught me to respect authority in my life. Let me interject this right here. We're in trouble in America. We're raising a generation in America that no longer respects the teacher, no longer respects the police officer, no longer respects the judge, no longer respects the Bible. I tell you, there's a day coming when every born-again believer will stand before him. That's the judgment seat of Christ. There's coming a day when every sinner will stand before him at the great white throne judgment. Beloved, there'll be no excuses. There'll be no rebellion. They'll stand before him on that day. So we ought to labor that we're accepted of him. We ought to labor because we're going to appear before him. And then we ought to labor because we're going to answer to him. He said that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to the it hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I'm going to tell you something right now. I want to say this. If you're a born again believer, serve the Lord. Serve him with gladness. Be faithful to him. Love him. Amen. Serve him. And I tell you, if you're a new creature in Christ, there's a new love. There's a new Lord. There's a new life. But there is a new labor. Let me give you this in closing this morning, a couple of things. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. I went back to the first part of the chapter. What happens when a man gets saved? Not only does he have that new love in his heart, and there's a new Lord in his life, a new life, and a new labor, but there's a new house. You say, preacher, what do you mean a new house? I tell you, this ought to be the house that every one of God's people have their heart and their mind fixed upon. If I live in the Lord willing, there's some remodeling that needs to be done at my house. And next year, God willing, I'll get at it. Amen. Next year, the Lord willing, I need to do some things around the house. But let me tell you something right now. There's a house that I'm looking forward to that doesn't need any repair. Look what the Bible said. The Bible said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that's talking about this body, this house. That's where we live now. He said we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How many believes there's a new house for the children of God? The Bible said here, listen, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we see under this the earthly house is dissolved, but we also see the heavenly house is desired. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 2. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon. No wonder the writer, the Apostle Paul, could say, for me to live is Christ. But he said, to die is gain. I'm going to move out of this old house and move into my new house. Move into my new home. Oh, beloved friend, the Bible said, they that say such things declare plainly. If we're not careful, listen to me. You'll drive the stakes a little deeper than they need to be driven down here. Don't drive them too deep, because we're not long for this world. If you'll read your Bible, listen to me carefully, you'll understand this thing's headed towards one world government, a one world economy. Are you listening to me? I believe with all of my heart the King is coming, and we ought to be looking forward to His coming. Amen. There's a new house. The heavenly house is desired. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Let me give you this. This is the last thing in the message. There's a new hope. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me give you, first of all, I looked up a couple of definitions of scriptural hope. It's not the same as like, I hope I get something to eat this afternoon, or I hope I make it home. It's not the same. It's not the same as saying, well, I hope I make it till I'm 60 years old. It's not the same as the way we use the word hope. A hope in the Bible means to trust in. It means to wait for. It means to look for. It means to desire something or someone, or to expect something beneficial in the future. Hope in Scripture means a strong and confident expectation. In other words, the blessed hope of the believer is that Christ will come again. Amen. And listen, it's not saying, well, we hope He comes. It's saying we know He's coming, but we're expecting Him to come. And it's an expectation and a trust that what He has said, He will perform. He will do what He said. There's a new hope. Let me give you a couple of things here. This hope involves being clothed upon. The Bible said, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now that we have wrought, he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of His Spirit. This hope involves hoping, expecting, longing for, trusting that day that we'll be clothed upon with our new house from heaven. Amen. Let me give you this. Hope not only involves being clothed upon, but listen carefully. Hope involves being confident. Let me give you three things here quickly, and I'm finished this morning in the message. First of all, I see where Paul in verse number 6, he says he's confident, but he's confident knowing where he is. You and I ought to be confident knowing where we are. What do you mean, preacher? Look at verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Honey, let me tell you something right now. I got enough going on in this body to know I'm still in this body. Amen. To know that I'm absent from the Lord. I know where I am. Some people try to act like, well, they're already there. You're not there yet. And I'm not either. But I'm going that way. Amen. I'm going that way. I'm confident knowing where I am, knowing where we are. Secondly, we're confident knowing where we're going. He said we're confident, verse number 8, willing to, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't only know where I am, but I know where I'm going. Now watch this. I don't know. I guess it's been 3 years since Mom went to heaven. In January, it was January 3 years. Some of you have heard this story. Some of you haven't. But it's in my heart. I'm going to tell it again. I started one night. Dad had went to church. Mom was within 24 hours of going home. I'm talking about that home. I'm talking about her real home. Heaven. I leaned over the bed and don't know really to this day why I did it. Other than to say, the Lord was working. Leaned over the bed and I said, Mama, you want me to read you the Bible? She had been unconscious for about 24 hours. Mom never responded. My sister sitting right over there. She looked across the bed at me and said, well, she didn't say no. You just had to be there. There was about, I guess, 15 of us, wasn't it, honey? 15, 16, 17 of us gathered around Mama's bed. Now, Brother Ralph, what are you going to read? Took two or three steps towards my Bible in the living room to get it and come back. The Spirit of God showed me exactly where to start reading. I didn't know where I'd stop reading, but I knew where to start reading. And I started reading over here in verse number 7 of the previous chapter. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Let me tell you something right now. If you have Jesus in this old vessel, you've got the greatest treasure that this world has ever seen. I started reading there, and I read that verse, and I read down through verse number 8, 9, 10, all the way through the end of the chapter. Got into chapter number 5. Never had really seen it before, but you read that this afternoon all the way through, and you'll see there doesn't even need to be a break between verse 18 and chapter 4 and verse 1 and chapter 5. It just flows right on through. And I'm just reading and reading and reading. And I got down to that verse number 8 where it said, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And my mama, in a voice and in a tone that her half-deaf son could understand clearly, said, amen. That was the last word my mom said, was amen. I wonder, Brother Ralph, looking back on it, if mama wasn't, she knew her Bible. If she wasn't laying there in that subconscious state thinking, you'll get to it in a minute, son. There's something I want to say amen to. I'm confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You say, what was it, preacher? I tell you what it was. It was a confidence knowing where she was going. Now listen. The last thing I'll give you here. Not only am I confident, I believe the believer's confident knowing where he is, confident knowing where he's going,
But I'm confident knowing how I'm going to get there. Look at verse number 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. There's not one thing you're going to see in this world that'll give you that confidence. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Paul said to the church at Galatia, he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Honey, God wants us to start in faith, start in the spirit, get up and walk in faith, continue in the spirit until some golden daybreak he comes again and takes us to our new home. Listen, a new hope, confident when we get there, it'll be by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you something I thought about. Philippians 1:6 said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. How many remembers that? Philippians 1:6. Watch this. I wondered, Brother Steve, as I looked at that verse last night, why just until then, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Let me ask you something. Did he begin the work? I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're born again, if you're saved by the grace of God, he began the work. You didn't begin the work, and you're not going to finish the work. He began the work. Why does it say, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ? What changes? Listen. He's going to perform the work until that day. Amen. On that day, Brother Ralph, he'll perfect the work. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, I'll be just like Jesus. I love the psalm, Sweet Hour Prayer. Sweet Hour Prayer. The line comes down and says, this robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, Sweet Hour Prayer. I'm headed home. I know where I am. I know where I'm going. And I know how I'm going to get there. By the grace of God, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd ask you this morning, it's in my heart, especially the young people that have professed Christ. Can you already see in your life a new love? Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Can you already see a new Lord? A new life, a new labor. Want to do something for him? You already see that you have a new house. A new house. A brand new house. Not made with hands. It gets easier to see that when this house starts falling apart, don't it? Amen. What was that old gospel song? Ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the door. I don't know the rest of it. But I ain't gonna need this house no longer. When I see what's going on in our world, honey, you better get ready to go up. You better get ready. He's coming. He's coming again. A new house. A new hope. Confident. Confident. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
I dare not claim the sweetest frame, but holy lean on Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. All things become new. I wonder how many services we have when folks come in and the choir sings. They have no idea why some lady in the choir would wave her hand. Or no idea why some man on the back row would wave his hand. Or no idea why somebody's got their handkerchief out and they have to stop singing a little while. Because their hearts just turn it over back and forth in worship for their Lord. But I tell you, we that are redeemed, we know, don't we? Amen. We know. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. No one looking around. If any man be in Christ, are you in Christ this morning? Boy, isn't that a good place to be? Isn't that a good place to rest? Isn't that a good place to labor? In Christ. I wonder this morning, there's someone here today and say, preacher, listen to me carefully now, real carefully. I'm just going to ask it like this. Just say recently. Preacher, I just want to thank God that recently I know that I'm in Christ. These things are evident in my life. In my hand is just a show of worship. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I know that I'm in Christ. I wonder this morning, if there's someone you'd say, preacher, the Lord's stirring in my heart. Maybe you don't even know exactly what's going on, but you know He's stirring in your heart. And you just say, preacher, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up this morning and say, pray for me. God bless you. I have been praying. If any man be in Christ, boy, I tell you, sometimes it's a struggle in Christ. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else? In Christ. Boy, I hope you'll come back tonight. The Lord is so brewing in my heart. Those two little words make all the difference in the world. In Christ. There's someone here today and you'd say, preacher, I know I'm saved as well as I know my name. But you say, preacher, I'm looking for that place to labor. I'm looking for that place where God wants me to be. With your hand, God bless you. You just slip it up and say, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Yes. I tell you what, if you're looking, He'll show you. How many believe that? He'll show you. I remember sitting on the parking lot that night praying, oh God, show me. Lord, I don't want to miss you. I remember telling the men on the pulpit committee, God has led me too far. I don't want to miss Him now. I can't afford to miss Him now. Oh, I'm glad. I'm so glad. 3.5 years later, I could stand here and say, I know where God wants me to be. Father, this morning,
I pray, Lord, that folks would just come. And I'll pray, Lord, for them, God, that you'll show them. Lord, sometimes you said we have not because we ask not. Maybe someone would come this morning and just say, Lord, show me your will. Show me your way. Work in my heart. Don't let me miss you, Lord. And Lord, I pray this morning that these, Lord, that have recently trusted Jesus, and Lord, they look at this message and God, their hearts are stirred. They see that evidence in their own life. Just in the last few days, the last few weeks, how exciting that is, our Lord. How exciting. I pray, Lord, for this one that's struggling, Lord. God, I know. I know what it is to struggle. God, I also know what it is to find sweet relief. God, I pray you and work. Lord, I don't know the need exactly, but God, you do. I pray, Lord, you'll